Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight, my special guest is Diane Brandon. She's an expert in intuition and personal development, but more importantly, she's an expert on dream analysis. People tend to be fascinated by dreams even as they scratch their heads over them. Like, what in the world did that dream mean? They often ask themselves. She specializes in interpreting dreams and helping people understand their dreams and grasp what they can do with them, if anything. She's the author of 3 books. Her latest one came out in March, and that is Dream Interpretation for Beginners: Understand the Wisdom of Your Sleeping Mind. Her other books are Intuition for Beginners, Easy Ways to Awaken Your Natural Abilities, and Invisible Blueprints, and Intuitive Insights for Fulfillment in Life. Diane has been interpreting dreams for over 40 years and has pored over sleep and dream research for just about as long. She's developed her own somewhat unconventional approach to understanding dreams and working with them, and she views them as not just fascinating, but also potentially helpful to all of us. She never tires of speaking of dreams. So, Diane, welcome once again. How are you tonight?
Well, thank you so much, David. I appreciate your asking me to be on the show. I'm doing well, and I'm tickled to join you.
Well, I'm interested in what your somewhat unconventional approach to understanding dreams is about. That's very intriguing.
Well, I was told by somebody that it's somewhat unconventional. I don't know if it's as unconventional as that person thought. Some people look at dreams as kind of a one-size-fits-all, that if you have a dream, you look at a dream dictionary and you know the meaning because they've got to be the same from one person to the next. And there are actually some people who work with dreams who view them that way, as if dream events are kind of universal. And my approach is, number one, looking at where a dream may have come from, the source of it, what type of dream it might be, and especially for dreams coming from one's unconscious, I feel that it's definitely not one size fits all. I have usually seen that they can contain very specific messages for the person who had the dream at that particular point in his or her life. And so my approach is really to use dreams as kind of a tool in our lives. What I've encountered is some people really kind of want the 25 words or less dream interpretation, whereas what I have found in interpreting other people's dreams for more years than I would like to admit is that, you know, a short, quick and dirty approach doesn't always give us the full meanings of our dreams. But when we capture the full meaning, even if we have to work at it a little bit, then it can give us tremendous insight. So, you know, I view dreams as giving us information that can benefit our lives and that we can use as a tool. And it can be information that is answering a question we have. It could be fairly mundane. It could be giving us really powerful information that we could use, whether that is a creative idea or using it for problem solving. Or we can have dreams that really shed light on something we're dealing with that could have to do with an old issue. And there are also some wonderful, wonderful spiritual aspects of dreams. So we have this other world that we go into at night, and it is so rich and it can be so complex. And I know I'm going on and on about it, but perhaps that's why my approach is unconventional.
That's okay. You're entitled. I'm sure that there's a lot to talk about, so please be my guest.
Thank you. You know, when I have worked with dreams, I know that I have gotten the right interpretations when the person who had the dream has an aha. And again, it just amazes me how much we can get out of a dream. Again, from problem solving to personal growth to even dealing with health, and also those spiritual aspects. I have always loved to sleep, David, because when I sleep, I am not only descending in consciousness from my waking consciousness to the deeper levels of my consciousness, but, you know, I go somewhere else. And to me, that is a spiritual experience. Even if I don't bring anything back consciously, because sometimes we don't, especially from the deepest levels of sleep. So it's a wide, complex world. And I view it as our other self. And of course, who we are is composed of not just who we think we are, you know, consciously, mm-hmm. but of those deeper levels and the higher soul awareness, which is also connected to the deeper levels at times.
Well, I'm wondering how you get to the source. You talked earlier about getting to the source to help figure out what the dream means. And, you know, if two people have the same dream and it's going to have different meanings for them, how do you come to that conclusion?
You know, it's a fairly complex process, I guess, or procedure. And I should say this, one of the major tools I use in interpreting dreams is my intuition. And that is a tool that I would encourage everyone to use in working with their dreams. But let me share just some of the potential sources of our dreams. I think a lot of people feel that our dreams are coming from our unconscious. And a lot of our dreams do stem from our unconscious, but that's not the only source of our dreams. Sometimes a dream may come from somebody else. For example, if a passed-on loved one is trying to communicate with us, and we may get that information in the form of a dream, that mm-hmm. comes from the other person. Or there are times when we can be communicating telepathically in our dreams with people we know. So that's a different source of dream, you know, dream of a dream, is a dream that's coming from somebody else, whether they're still here in body or whether they're passed on.
Mm-hmm.
Physical conditions can create dreams. So, for example, if you're sleeping and let's say the temperature drops a lot in your bedroom, you may start dreaming that you're at the Arctic Circle or something, or that, you know, or that you're in a walk-in freezer. External conditions, if there's a noise outside, you know, that can actually create dream content and our health. You know, some people have had dreams in which they have an illness that they didn't know they had.
Mm-hmm.
And they get it checked out, you know, the next day or afterwards, and they find out that they do indeed have that health condition. Our higher soul awareness can also create dreams. That's another potential source. And some dreams, you know, I used to think years and years ago that when we were dreaming about things. But some dreams are actual experiences. Part of our consciousness can be off exploring other places or other time periods. We can be back in a past life, re-experiencing something, the spirit exploring the universe. We can be taken by spiritual beings to other places and be taught spiritually. So this is why, you know, I say that there's several different potential sources of dreams, and that is useful to be aware of when we're trying to interpret a dream and figure out, you know, what it means. And then I categorize dreams. They're different types of dreams. They're different categories. And when it comes down... I'm sorry?
What are some of the categories?
Well, one really mundane category, and I have to kind of back up and say that some of the research in the past 10 years has shown that one of the things that happens while we're sleeping is our mind is dealing with the new events of that day or the day before, and it's filing those memories away. It's moving them from short-term storage to long-term storage. And there's some of the research has shown that if we don't get enough sleep, that interferes with learning, so that we can't remember some of the new things we were exposed to. So one type of dream is just sorting out the day's activities and filing those memories away. A lot of times those dreams are not necessarily significant. However, there are times when they can be significant if they're triggering something from the past or if they're giving us a heads up about something. So that's one type of dream. Another type of dream is just an expression of something going on in the body. You know, whether it's something that's really important, like a health condition, or whether it's something somewhat mundane, such as like what I call a bathroom dream. Another type of dream is dreams in which we're actually experiencing and exploring. I feel that some dreams are message dreams. We're being given messages, whether that's from passed on loved ones, guides, the divine. And some dreams are communication dreams in which we have like a two-way conversation. And again, that can be with somebody we know who's here in body, or it can be with a passed on loved one. Some dreams, and these are the dreams that I think can really give us some ahas, are expressing and working out our personal issues. And I'm sure you know, David, how important it is to be working on our issues, because if there's anything that keeps us more mired in aspects that may not be pleasant, or that keeps us from feeling more freedom or control in our lives, is our old issues. Another type of dream is a dream that's expressing fears and desires. And of course, fears are often connected with, you know, old issues, but they can also have to do with something going on in our lives at the time that we may be concerned or worry about. Another type of dream is a healing dream, where we actually experience some sort of healing. And that can certainly be a physical healing, but it can also be an emotional healing of something that had bothered us or haunted us. Another type of dream is a dream that is creative inspiration and problem solving, which happens an awful lot while we're sleeping, and we can learn to work with that aspect. Another type of dream, and I think this type of dream many, many people think of, is a dream that's psychic. It's precognitive or it's clairvoyant. That's giving us information that theoretically, you know, we wouldn't have access to, we think. So those are the types of dreams, and some dreams are a combination. You know, they're more than one type.
Well, I was interested in the dream that was connected to health, because I had a guest on my show who had a dream where angels came to her and told her that she had breast cancer, and she went to the doctor. The doctor checked her out and said not to worry. Well, this happened a couple of times, and finally the angels told her exactly where the cancer was in the breast and exactly the words to say to the doctor. And he agreed to do the biopsy at that point and discovered she had stage 4 breast cancer. So I thought that was fascinating when you mentioned that, and it reminded me of that particular interview.
Yes, yes, yes. And I may have spoken to her as well. I actually have a friend who is compiling dreams about breast cancer. I know another person, and actually her set of dreams is in my book, Dream Interpretation for Beginners, who had a series of dreams. They weren't quite recurring, but they were a series of dreams about a health condition, and she went to one doctor and actually had to go to a second one to get a proper diagnosis, and it was a malignancy. It was on the skin. It wasn't in the breast.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your new book. What would you like to say about it?
Oh, well, the book really, you know, I think the title Dream Interpretation for Beginners is a little bit of a misnomer, because I start off with the basics, but then go into more advanced material. So it's really kind of a, I guess you would say, an A to Z book. I always like to start out with basics, because I want to make sure that everybody gets that basic information, and then goes on to, you know, the more advanced information. So in the book, you'll find information on, for example, aspects of sleep that I feel that are important to know about to be able to interpret our dreams. I go into some commonly asked questions about dreams. Again, trying to help people understand about dreams. I have a specific procedure in the book for interpreting dreams. I have dream samples in the book that I've interpreted, and then I have another chapter with more dream samples that the reader can interpret, and then I have the interpretations, you know, later on in the book. So there's a lot of information in the book, and what I have wanted the book to do for people, or to help people with, is to understand more about that world we descend into every night, and how to understand our dreams and other aspects of that world, and then how to use our dreams as tools, and that's later in the book. I go into how we can actually use dreams as a tool for ourselves in our lives that can benefit us, you know, in many, many different ways. And I have an appendix in the book as well with some additional information. So it's I guess the best way I can put it is kind of an A to Z. I feel personally that I have gotten so much out of the work I've done with dreams and even sleep research. I started reading what I could find on sleep research, sleep and dream research, I should say, back in the early 70s. And it's interesting because my sense and my understanding of that world we descend into every night has just deepened and expanded over time. You know, years and years ago, I may have thought, okay, I understand, you know, how to interpret dreams and yada, yada, yada. But I just, there's just more and more. And what fascinates me, too. I'm sorry?
How has it changed for you?
Oh, I've seen even more of what people can do with their dreams and some things that may be going in the deeper levels of sleep and how sometimes for those of us who are spiritually oriented, there can be spiritual aspects, not just being taken place and shown things and taught things, but sometimes there's a sense of being worked on in ways that we may not bring back a conscious memory. And I think some people, different people do different types of work in their sleep. I mean, I know one person I know two people who remember going out while they're sleeping and healing others. And I have the sense, too, that sometimes before world events, especially those of us who are spiritually oriented, are either worked with in some way or prepared, or we're doing work. We're enlisted to do work. And again, we may not bring back a conscious memory of that, but I've had that sense increasingly.
Mm.
And then even, you know, using dreams as a tool. You know, depending upon what we do with the dream is obviously going to depend upon, you know, what the dream was and what it was about and the information it gave to us. Now, I have to kind of add a little footnote and say that everybody's style of dreaming is highly individualistic. So we don't all necessarily dream in the same way or have the same type of dreams, irrespective of the fact that, yes, there are some common dreams. But, you know, the interesting thing, David, is some of those common dreams I've never had.
What are some
and
of
I'm
the
sure
common?
I've had an... I'm sorry?
What are some of the common dreams?
Oh, being chased,
mm-hmm.
you know, falling off a cliff, drowning in water. I mean, there are all sorts of common dreams. Yeah.
Flying.
And, flying. Or
yeah.
you're out in public and you look down and, oops, no clothes on.
Right.
now, that one I have had. Flying I've had. But it's interesting, too, because I personally, I'm sure I did at some point, but I can't remember any nightmares. I know I've had, and it's rare as well for me, I've had some bad dreams, but that might be, you know, once or twice a year, but they're not nightmares. So we all have our own individual style. This is not a one-size-fits-all world that we go into. It varies from person to person. And, of course, as you know, David, some people are not interested in their dreams, and some people don't remember dreams.
Is that common? Because I am in that category. I have remembered some dreams which I've written down or told to other people. But if I don't do that, the dream disappears very quickly.
The dream will disappear very quickly. Because if you think about it, while we're sleeping and dreaming, we're in this other world that's kind of encapsulated. And I have to back up and say that, you know, when we go to sleep, obviously our brain waves slow down because we descend into a deeper level of consciousness. But we also have brain and body chemical changes. There are physiological changes. So when we wake up from a dream, we go into a lighter state of consciousness. And if we open our eyes, we're bombarded by stimuli, visual stimuli, auditory stimuli. And that's going to crowd out any memory of a dream. There are estimates that within, 5 seconds of waking up and opening our eyes, 50%, 50 to 70% of a dream is gone. So they're very ephemeral. So we have to find a way to record them in order to remember them. But you're remembering some of your dreams. Some people feel that they don't dream at all. They don't have that experience of, while they're sleeping and having a dream, waking and remembering that there's a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of that is because, some people are just not motivated to remember dreams. They're not interested. But also, I feel if people are sleep-deprived, and as you know, we live in a very sleep-deprived society, and I could go off on a tangent on that, too, and how that impacts our health. But if we're sleep-deprived, we tend to spend more time in the deeper levels of sleep, and we do that in the early part of the sleep cycle, and people may not be sleeping long enough to get to the lighter levels of sleep, which come later in the sleep cycle, which is when we have dreams that we tend to remember. We have dreams. We can have dreams at any level. We can have dreams in the deepest levels of sleep. We just don't tend to remember those dreams because we remember a dream when our level of consciousness shifts while we're dreaming, and that could be because the dream content, is kind of taking us to a lighter level because it's capturing our attention. Or it could be that we're turning over to shift position, or we hear a slight noise. That's when we tend to remember the dreams. And if we just, go back to sleep, we may not remember that dream. But, for people who are sleep deprived, it's funny because when I've spoken on dreams and some people say, I don't dream. And if I ask if they're sleep deprived, most of them will say, yes, they are. So that is one downside. If you're interested in your dreams, in understanding your dreams, and in working with them, you have to get enough sleep. And as I mentioned just a moment ago, there has been a tremendous amount of research that's been done in the past, 5 to 10 years, on all the negative health impacts of inadequate sleep. And, it's amazing the things that they're finding, because in our culture, and I don't know when this started, probably within the past 30 or 40 years, people tend to feel that sleep is a luxury and, I can get by on less sleep. But the research findings that have been coming out have been kind of mind-blowing about the negative health impacts. So I'm glad that I have always made my sleep a priority.
I'm just curious, what is the recommended amount of sleep, if there is such a thing?
Well, and that is the one answer we do not have, because different researchers will say different things. They were saying 7 to 8 hours. Some researchers say 6 to 7. Some say 8 to 9. It varies. And the thing too, mm-hmm. David, is we all have our own individual number of hours of sleep that work mm-hmm. best for us. When I was growing up, I think I was more like a 9 to 10 hour person, and now I to be in, an 8 to 9 hour person. But I've had a couple of friends who had to sleep 11 or 12 hours every night, which is amazing. So we all have our own individual needs, and there are people who are indeed what are called short sleepers, who can get by on 2 to 4 hours of sleep. you know, with impunity. I'm not one of them.
Nor am I.
No.
I wondered if it is, well, I mean, obviously for most people this isn't an option, and that is to just sleep until you naturally wake up. I mean, when you're working, you have a job, you have to get up at such and such a time, and unless you have a really good biological time clock, chances are you're going to need that alarm to wake up. But I wonder if there's any benefit for people that don't have to be up at a specific time to not set an alarm and just sleep until they naturally wake up.
I think that is beneficial. And I will say, you know, that I've been able to do that for the past several years. Research does show that it's important to try to stick with a consistent bedtime and waking time. And
mm-hmm.
part of that is because, you know, as humans, we evolved in sync with the light-dark cycle. And it is actually the light-dark cycle that induces sleep because, you know, as daylight fades and we get into night, you know, then more melatonin is produced. And so when we are erratic in our bedtime and waking times, that's not good for health. And also, I will say this, since we're talking about it, that I hate to say this, that for people who are working a graveyard shift, working in the night, that's not good for health either. They've actually found a link between exposure to light at night and a higher risk of cancer. A lot of night shift, there is a higher incidence of cancer among night shift workers. So it's important to keep the bedtime and waking time as consistent as possible, not just for the sake of consistency, but because it actually has an impact on health. And other than that, I think we have to really know ourselves and know what amount of sleep feels right. I mean, I may sleep longer some nights than others. You know, I tend to sleep at, you know, a certain amount of time, but sometimes there is some variability. The other aspect of this that you touched upon is waking up. And this is important if you want to remember your dreams and work with them, because a lot of people, you know, will wake to an alarm, and the alarm is, you know, loud and jangling, and you jump out of bed, and you start doing things. That is definitely counterproductive to remembering dreams and to remembering what was going on in that other world, you know, before the alarm went off. What I recommend, if you can do it, is number one, if you have to wake to an alarm, have one that plays soft music so it doesn't jolt you awake. And then when you hear it, don't jump out of bed. I would recommend waking up slowly, keeping your eyes closed as you try to savor what was going through your mind and what was going on in that other world. And then, you know, gradually waking up. If there's a dream you want to record, you can record the dream. A lot of people, you know, talking about recording dreams, wake up in the middle of the night. And which is fine, because if you're going to record dreams, you know, that's, you have to capture them quickly or they're gone. But I recommend, you know, having a handheld digital recorder or even, you know, your phone, because a lot of smartphones these days can record and just dictate it. If you turn on the light, that tends to, you know, interfere with getting back to sleep, you know, fairly quickly and effortlessly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, what are some of the benefits of recording the dreams and actually working with them, how can they serve as tools to aid us in our day-to-day lives?
Well, first of all, in recording them, and if you do keep a dream journal, I would recommend reviewing it from time to time. If you go back over dreams you had 2 or 3 months before, you may then realize even more what the dream was about and perhaps what has shifted since that time. But with some dreams, and again, it's going to depend greatly on the type of dream and the information. But, for example, if you have a dream that is answering a question that you've had, that is helping you with problem solving, that is giving you creative information, then you can apply it some way in your life. If you have a dream about a health condition, you may want to get that checked out. If you have a dream that is about a personal issue, you may want to follow up in some way. It may be giving you information about an issue you didn't even know that you had, or it may be giving you an aspect of it that you weren't aware of. So again, it's going to depend upon the type of information with regard to what you're going to do with it and use it as a tool. You can also look at some, if you keep a dream journal, you can look at dreams you've had over the previous so many months and see how you have shifted and grown. If you have a dream that is giving you information, for example, about a past life issue, you may want to work on that in some way. So again, it really depends upon the type of dream. Now, if we get information about something that's precognitive, that's hard because we don't always know that a dream is precognitive, or even if we sense that it is, we may not know exactly what it's referring to. One example is the awful events of September 11th. I had people tell me afterwards that they had gotten information in advance. For some people, it was while they were awake. Some people, it was in the dream state. But you didn't know really what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
I even had one person who'd been in one of my workshops, I teach intuitive skills, contact me afterwards, and she said, "Do you remember that advanced exercise you took us through?" And she said, "And I got U.S. economy, and I got something about planes and buildings." Well, we didn't know at the time what that was about. Some people say that the purpose of prophecy is more to be prepared, that we can't always change or avert events. In some ways, precognitive dreams about negative things help to prepare us, on some level.
Mm-hmm.
It would be wonderful if we could avert them, but, not something we can always do.
Well, I'm interested in the fact that you have a workshop on helping people develop their intuitive skills. I was going to ask you earlier on, and now I'm going to ask you this, and that is, how do people strengthen their intuition? How do they get in touch with it? What can they do?
Well, that's another long answer. I hate to say that, David.
I'm ready for it.
There's so many aspects of intuition. The first is to really get past the cultural misconceptions, I should say, even some of the myths about intuition. As less so now, but I think since the age of reason and the ascendancy of science, culturally, we've come to rely more and more on that which we can see, feel, you know, touch, the more pragmatic aspects. And so there's been a kind of a cultural bias against that which cannot be seen or theoretically explained, like intuition. So I think we have to get past our own cultural bias, number one. Number two, I think then we have to understand exactly what intuition is. I call it a set of phenomena. And again, in my book, Intuition for Beginners, I go through a lot of this. So we have to understand what intuition is, because intuition's a whole ball of wax. And different people have different aspects of it or different forms of it. That, again, is not one size fits all. Just because you have a friend who's very intuitive, who sees things, doesn't mean that if you're not seeing things that you're not intuitive. So we have to understand all the different ways that it can speak to us. We have to then start working on any of our own blocks to intuition, primarily thinking that we can't be intuitive, because I never knew I was intuitive. And when I started working with my intuition, I was like, what in the world am I doing? I'm not intuitive. So we have to at least sit with an open attitude and go, okay, maybe I am intuitive. I'm going to explore this and see what happens. And then you start doing exercises. The method I use and the method I teach, David, I call tuning in, which has to do with going to a slightly deeper level of consciousness. And, I mean, I have that procedure spelled out, you know, step by step in my book, Intuition for Beginners. And you have to see how you're experiencing things. When I teach this, you know, the first part of the class or the workshop is discussion and presentation. Then we start in on the exercises. I usually start with a guided meditation and then go through different exercises. For some of us may be stronger with some forms of intuition, you know, than with others. But it's important to maintain an open attitude, because years ago, back in 92, when I started working with my intuition, I thought, okay, I primarily get impressions. Well, I've learned that's part of it. And then I thought, oh, I'm feeling information. I guess I'm also kinesthetic. But then I noticed that sometimes I will get images or sometimes words or phrases. So the important thing is to approach this with a really open attitude. Think of that you're exploring. You're exploring this to see what you experience. And over time, we may start experiencing our intuition in new ways, and certainly we tend to start honing our abilities. The one caveat I always like to mention is it's so important to get intuitive information that is pure and that's reliable and that's not affected by our personal stuff, our fears, our wants, our mindsets, our beliefs. But again, this is also something that we can learn to work with. And, you know, some people talk about going to a spiritual source, you know, going to guides for information. I've never done that. Of course, I will add this. I have felt a connection to the divine literally from the time I was born. So I've never felt that I needed to go through, you know, an intermediary. I've always trusted the information would be there. If some people are more comfortable, you know, working with a guide, that's fine, because you want to find what is working for you, but don't glom onto it and feel that it can only work for you in that way. You want to be open, because, you know, you should find that over time you're still discovering new things. I mean, again, I've been working with my intuition since 92, and I'm still discovering new things or new little exercises to do. So, that's just a very short kind of sharing of how you do this. But there is a way, and when I've taught this in workshops, I have never had anybody not be able to get information. And sometimes they were really surprised.
I bet. What are some of the blocks to intuition? I'm curious.
I think a lot of the blocks have to do with our preconcepts and our misconceptions. We may think that, oh, I'm a logical person, so I can't be intuitive. Well, that's not true. You know, we talk about left brain, right brain, and I know that some people are poo-pooing that, but I know a neuroscientist whose research in one of his books underscores that. We can be whole brain, and so that's a good place to start. Don't think that if you're logical, you can't also be intuitive, or that if you're intuitive, you can't be intelligent. Not true. We're talking about using more of our consciousness and our minds. So that's one block. Perhaps for you, since you're a male, David, you may think, well, you know, it's women's intuition, so primarily women have it. You know, I'm not saying you do, but that's a possible block, is that, oh, it's gender specific, or it works, mm-hmm. it's easier for women. So, you know, the blocks may vary, you know, from one person to the next. And a lot of it may be not even understanding what it can be. Mm-hmm. And that's why I go through a lot of that early material on the presentation, on the discussion. And when I'm teaching this, after each exercise, I really ask the participants to share what they experience, because a lot of times people learn as much from what other people are experiencing as what they're experiencing. You know, it's fascinating. You know, we may think, oh, you know, I tend to sense things, so I can't do this because I can't see things. You know, that could be another block that has to do with a misconception, a preconcept.
Well, we do have a few callers on the line. Shall we go and see what questions they might have for you?
That sounds wonderful.
Okay. I know the first caller is Diana. Diana, you're live. Hello there. How are you tonight?
Hi, I'm good. Actually, I'm just listening. I don't really have questions. I pretty much don't always remember my dreams, but I remember the adventure ones, like driving in the mountains and or swimming in the ocean or things like that.
Those must be pleasant ones, Diana, right?
Yes, those are very pleasant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't just remember dreams that are unpleasant. We also remember the pleasant ones, which can be wonderful, even like flying dreams. So no questions?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I do. If I'm dreaming and I don't remember the dreams, I just get up and sit up and meditate and still have the same feeling of being in the same dream, but get a little bit difficult calling it back. I don't know if there's any tricks to calling it back or not.
That's one of the hardest things to do, Diana. I think you're meditating. You're dead on. That's one of the things you want to do, is to try to get back into a similar state of consciousness, and the feeling in the dream, the emotional feeling, the ambiance, are also really important in trying to remember a dream. Not guaranteed to work. It's very hard to do. But those are the ways to attempt to do it. It's probably easier to do while you're still in bed, you know, than getting up.
Sitting up, yes. I see what you mean about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes maybe we're just supposed to have that vibration, because several mm-hmm. times during the day after a good dream that you can't remember, you may still have a feeling that you had in the dream, but you still can't remember the dream.
Exactly. And just because we can't consciously remember a dream doesn't mean that it didn't shift something on a deep level within us, that it had no effect. Some dreams we don't necessarily have to consciously remember for them to have accomplished something within us.
I'm wondering on that note, if you wake up, say you've been having a very bad day, and you go to bed and you just feel like you're in a place that feels really yucky, and then you wake up the next day and you have a totally new perspective and you feel alive and vibrant, I wonder if dreams could play into that.
That is a wonderful example. It really is, David. And yes, a dream could bring that about. Could also be something that you experienced in the deepest levels of sleep or a way in which you were worked with spiritually. So it could be a shift in the psyche that came through a dream. It could be just having been worked on spiritually, you know, being a recipient. But yes, we don't have to actively consciously remember our dreams or tease out the meanings to go through lovely little shifts.
I love the idea that we can be worked on spiritually in our dreams. I'd never even thought about that before.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people didn't, David, and I didn't used to think about this because I was so focused on interpreting dreams and what does the dream mean. But yes, I mean, when we go to sleep, and I'm going to preface this and say this is one of the things I thought when I was born, of not wanting to be here. And I think this is why I've always loved to sleep, because when I go to sleep, I know, you know, part of that is I'm on the other side. So there are a lot of spiritual aspects. And remember that while we're sleeping, we're not dreaming the whole time. Again, in the early part of the sleep cycle, we spend more time in the deepest levels of sleep. And even after, we're cycling up and down and up and down in consciousness. And yeah, oh yeah, there's this whole other spiritual aspect of sleeping and dreaming. Even if we're not dreaming, there can be spiritual aspects. Yeah, nice stuff, wonderful stuff. I love it. I love it. And we get to do it every night.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Well, Diana, do you have any other comments or questions?
Oh, yeah, I could comment. I do see people that have passed over in dreams, and that's usually meaningful. And I do the work dream. Definitely.
Wonderful.
I think we all get called out at the same time sometimes. I vividly remember one where we were, and I just say we because I know there was other people dreaming with me in this dream, that we were helping a dolphin get loose from something. That was a great dream. And I know that was a working dream, and it was, we were really doing work. So I like it when I remember the dreams that were real occurrences that really happening, even though the psychic, you know, shifting our psychic and all that is still great too.
Yeah, and some people, what I have found, Diana, is some people have a natural affinity for certain types of dreams, and for example, you know, passed on, those who have passed on visiting. And for some people, it may not even be, you know, those they knew. Just as some people have an affinity for having precognitive dreams. So again, this varies greatly from one person to the next. So, you know, so that's one of your things, so to speak, you know, in the sleeping world, which is nice.
Well, Diana, I think we'll go to the other callers, but thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
Take care, Diana.
Have a beautiful evening.
Oh, y'all too. Thank you. Blessings.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Before we go on to the other callers, I wanted to ask the best place for people to get your books or for them to get in touch with you. So, folks, if you want to get in touch with Diane, get your pen and piece of paper out. And so I turn that over to you, Diane.
Oh, thank you, David. My website would probably be the easiest way, and that is, it's easy, it's dianebrandon.com, DianeBrandon.com. I do have a dream group on Facebook, Your Dream World, and my books, Dream Interpretation for Beginners and Intuition for Beginners, should be widely available both in bookstores and online. Invisible Blueprints is probably best to get through Amazon. But the other two should be widely available, and if a bookstore doesn't have it in stock, they can certainly order it.
Oh, great. Okay.
And
well,
my email address and phone number on my website, too.
Okay, beautiful. All right, we're going to go and take a Skype caller. We had another one, but this caller's been on the line for 12 minutes.
Hi.
Trying to bring them live. Hello, you're live on the air with David Clark and Diane Brandon. What is your name, please?
Hi, my name's Helen. And
hi, Helen. How are you tonight?
Hi, Helen.
I'm well. I have a little bit of a different dream question. I know you're helping people interpret their dreams, and my question is, can I program myself to have a dream to answer a question? Like, for example, if I want a
I'm
job.
So glad you asked that, Helen. I touched on that in a really oblique way earlier when I said you can learn to work with the problem-solving aspect of dreams. Yes, you call it incubating a dream, and you can learn to do that. And basically, before you go to sleep, when you go to bed, when you're ready to go to sleep, remind yourself of what you want an answer on, and you have to really want it. I personally feel that the emotional part of the brain, the amygdala, has to be charged. And basically, you ask, I would really like to have a dream about such and such or an answer to such and such. And it often works. Sometimes people have to do that a few times, but it will usually work, and sometimes you may wake up having the answer. Sometimes you may be going about your business the next day or 2 days later, and it comes to your mind.
Oh, interesting. Well, the reason I asked is I had a dream of someone that I used to date, and we were on a sailboat, and it was a fabulous time, but we're not together. And so I don't know if the dream is to tell me that there's a possibility that we might reconcile. I guess that's why I was going to ask myself to program for the answer.
Ah. Yeah, that's a little different. I think the interpreting it would probably yield more. Now, you could also try to incubate an answer, but this person was somebody you were involved with romantically years ago?
A year ago.
Oh, a year ago. Okay. And what do you think of when you think of a sailboat?
I just thought of very peaceful, serene, kind of freedom.
Mm-hmm. And when the two of you were involved, were there problems in the relationship? Was there any chaos or arguing?
Only in the end.
Okay. So, and have you had the dream more than once?
No.
Okay. So you had it once. Was this recently?
About a month ago.
Okay. And obviously, it sounds like the dream felt that it was significant to you, right?
Correct.
You know, the different possible meanings, you know, to that dream, Helen, it could be that peace, you've gotten to the point of peace, of closure or peace about the relationship. It could also mean that whatever was going on between the two of you that was more chaotic towards the end has now settled down and there's a sense of peace. It could be precognitive that that the two of you will reconnect again. So as I go through those different possibilities, does any of those like stand out to you or resonate more than the others?
I think it's reconnect that stands out, and that was kind of how I felt during the dream.
Okay. Then what I would recommend, Helen, is to incubate an answer that gives you information on whether there's anything you need to do to bring this about or whether this is a precognitive dream telling you that you will reconnect and you don't need to do anything. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you can get information while you're sleeping on that aspect of the dream.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. We don't have to just, and this is like with intuition, we don't have to just go with the initial information we've gotten if we have questions. So, yes, you can incubate getting more information on that, asking for guidance. You know, what do I need to do? What would be the best thing for me to do?
Okay.
And see what happens.
I will. Thank you.
Sounds wonderful.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you for calling, Helen. All right. Helen, I hope that you have a beautiful evening. Before we go to the next caller, I just wanted to say, you know, I now broadcast 4 days a week, Sundays, Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays at 7:30 Eastern Time. And instead of telling you the upcoming shows, I have a lot of very interesting shows coming up, including psychics and angel readers and Dr. Bernie Siegel and an astrologer. And, you know, they're all fascinating shows. But the best way to look up ahead to see what might appeal to you is to go to blogtalkradio.com/ author David Clark with an E. So that's blogtalkradio.com/author David Clark. And now I'm going to go to area code 941. I'm sorry I haven't had a chance to talk to you, so I don't know your name yet, but you're live on the air. What is your name?
Hi, this is Athena Starr.
Athena Starr. I thought that area code looked familiar. How are you?
We are just great, thank you. I just tuned in listening to your show tonight. Nice to be with you. And what is the name of your guest?
Her name is Diane.
I'm Diane Brandon, Athena. Nice to meet you.
Diane, hi, yes. Anyway, I'm... Yes, I'm hosted on David's shows frequently also. I was calling in because I was very intrigued, and we tune in for other people, but it's always good to get a very interesting dream I had recently, so I thought I would share that because, anyway, I just want to share it with you. I do, you know, planetary grid work, and I work with world leaders on other levels, and I used to work for the government, but anyway, I had a dream the other night, within the last 2 weeks. It was a lucid dream, and you know what that is, right?
Yes.
And so, very lucid. So when I have those, it's wonderful. It's not really a dream. You're there. You're actually in person, and it's very, everything's real time. So, which we do when we're traveling about and doing our work on the planet. So President Obama came into the dream because I work with him on other levels, not just him, but, you know, in for justice and all of that. So anyway, it's not uncommon for that to happen. But he came into my dream, and I was in a building, a space where I was doing some work. And he came in and he said, "Oh, hi." He knew exactly who I was. He said, "Hi." And I said, "Oh, sir, it's so nice to meet you." And he was dressed casually in jeans and a T-shirt and everything. And he said, "Oh, I knew you were in here." He goes, "I wanted to say hi to you and acknowledge you and your work and everything, all you've been doing for the planet." And I go, you know, I was like stunned. And then he said, "Is there anything I can do for you?" And I thought, "Oh my gosh, I only got 1 second. He's gonna, you know, he's only in here for a few seconds. I gotta, you know, whatever I'm gonna ask, it better make it good." So what I did share was, see, I was born with a retinal disease, which progresses on the Earth plane. You know, we do healing on it and everything, but it at this point there's no solution medically or in products and all that, and I've tried everything, trust me. So it's about progressing, but also it has helped me to see on other levels and dimensions, even though I'm visually impaired. You get the picture?
Yes.
But I don't need it. I don't want it anymore. I don't need it. So what we've been doing is on other levels, just probably reaching out. So what I asked him was, "Yes, I have retinitis pigmentosa. It's progressive, and so far they aren't putting funding or focus toward that on the planet. There's over 300 million people that have it, and most of them lose their total vision. They put the focus on macula, and I was wondering if there's something you could do to step it up or to, you know, get it." "Yes," he goes, "absolutely." He goes, I'll get my people on it right away, and we'll get that done for you." He goes, "Now you stay in touch with him." And then they said, "Sir, we got to go now. We're taking off." And he's taking off on Air Force One. So oh, it's funny. But it was so lucid that I was physically there with him. So I said, "Oh, thank you." And he goes, "Now you write to me. Now stay in touch with him. You write to me. We'll follow up on that." And I said, "Okay. Thank you, sir." Then he flew off. Okay, so there you go. There's the dream.
Well, now, do you really need interpretation of that dream, Athena?
No. Not interpretation, but why do you think that happened? Just whatever you receive on it, you know?
Well, it feels to me, I mean, on an energetic level, you've already been connecting, you know, while you're sleeping with, as you said, with world leaders. And
yeah.
And whether that lucid dream took place in this physical reality or whether it took place in another dimension,
mm-hmm.
almost doesn't matter, because even if it were, excuse me, in another dimension, energetically, it affects this dimension. It's interesting, too, just on kind of a symbolic level,
mm-hmm.
the aspect of vision and seeing.
Yes.
And this, of course, we could say, with so many things going on in our world these days, on the planet, even though we just talked about the environment, you know, we need more people who can see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people who can envision in a positive way. So I just found that little aspect to be, you know, to be very, very interesting. It would be obviously interesting for you to follow and see if any more research or research funding it goes through, you know,
yeah,
for
but,
research.
But he said,
mm-hmm.
but it ended so profoundly in, he said, "Now you write to me." And so it's like it came to me, should I write to, you know, I don't like that connection, you know, with, I never write to, like, the White House and things like some people do that.
Yeah, but you can do that energetically. You
well,
can
yeah.
sit down. You can sit down and you can write a message to him and basically energetically send it.
Well, true, but he's got so much going on that I don't think that would be. So, but why do you feel that he came in, like, that was a gift, wasn't it? It was very special.
I would say it was definitely a gift, and the familiarity was there, you know, with him recognizing you and acknowledging, you know, the work that you've been doing. You know, while we're awake, we may not be in touch, or I should say, you know, probably most people are not in touch with some of the connections we make, either
right.
in meditation or in the sleep state.
Right. Well, I work, because I know he's a galactic being, and I work, I know on other levels, but he doesn't come into my dreams that often. It was only when he was inaugurated and he got, you know, like that. But also, ironically, it was right at my birthday time that this happened.
Interesting.
Cool.
A little
yeah.
solar return present.
So,
but I feel that it has to do with, you know, as you said, you know, you've been doing work in the sleep state that has to do with trying to help and to heal. So this, if you look at this in yet another way, it's a balancing of the energy because it's a gift back to you.
Yeah. Do you think I should write to him physically, or you don't know?
I would write it out physically and transmit it telepathically.
Okay. Yeah.
And you can actually do that while you're awake, or you could write it out while you're awake and whether you put it under your pillow when you go to sleep, or
right,
tell
right.
yourself that in the sleep state you're going to be transmitting that.
Yeah. Well, what was really interesting was that he said, no problem, we'll get that done for you. Or he goes, absolutely, that we can get that done. It was like, no problem. And yet there's always these, you know, any research place I call or universities that I've called through the years, oh, well, no, it's slow, and oh, yeah, in 5 or 10 years they'll, you know, they'll get it more, blah, blah, blah. It's slow. They're doing some stem cell research, but, you know, don't count on it. It's always a no. It's always they're not there. And, oh, but macular degeneration, they're doing more on that. You know, it's always that thing. So anyway, it encouraged me. So I just thank you for sharing about your insights.
Well, certainly. Let me say one more thing, Athena, and that is that, yes, the bureaucracy seems to be firmly in place at times, but often things happen energetically on another level before they become reality in the three-dimensional.
Right. Right. Of course, in fact, all of it does. Everything
mm-hmm.
comes from the etheric. Nothing on
mm-hmm.
the earth plane. Everything. Everything on the earth is, you know, yeah. At one point was a thought or etherically downloading. Anyway, so I appreciate that very much. Thank you for that. It was special and beautiful. God bless
Wonderful.
You and your work. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Athena, too. And always love connecting with people who are working with the grid.
Yes, the more the merrier, for sure.
Absolutely. Bringing those
days. Yes,
bringing those higher energies in.
Mm-hmm. With everything going on, with all the everything surfacing to be transmuted, we're all working around the clock right now with all of that, and it will
yes.
be. It will be. It's all coming up to be purified. Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you
well, thank
so much, and
Athena, and
David
just for
will...
the people that are listening, Athena is going to be on December 4th, so be sure to call in that night, and she can help you too.
All right.
So thank you for
thank
calling,
you.
Athena. Have a beautiful
yes.
evening.
I will.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're
thank
welcome.
You, Athena.
Okay. We lost one caller, but we just got another one. Area code 708. You're live on the air. What is your name, please?
My name is Barb.
Hi, Barb. How are you?
Hi, Barb.
Hello. I
Hello.
Find this very fascinating, this topic. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember dreams as other people do. You know, I've had family and friends that remember very vivid, you know, details and going through different experiences. But all I can remember, and it seems that it always happens right before I wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And once I don't know if I'm traveling, you know, like I was in, for example, I was in Egypt. I could see the pyramids, like I was actually there in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on top of someone's head because I was tall. No, seriously. And I, it was, you know, I was on, like, I don't know if I wanted to say it was, I don't know, like one of the Egyptian gods or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That I was sitting on top of their head. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and now let me give you a little feedback. I did get Reiki attuned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Attunement, okay. And then another, now a couple of days ago, I had it where I saw like a collage of faces. And it was like a picture, but it was like all these faces coming at me.
Mm-hmm.
Like wanting to talk, like wanting to communicate.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah. And it just seemed, and then the other one was where it was an angel, and this angel was gigantic.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was standing there, or I was looking at it, I mean, it looked like it was as big as a tall skyscraper. How big it appeared to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do these mean?
Let me ask you a question, Barb. When did you have the Reiki attunement?
Oh, in relation to the dream.
Uh huh.
Oh, I would say it was about maybe a month after, 2 months after.
Mm-hmm.
I would say maybe a month or two after.
Okay. And did you, in the past, did you have dreams in which you were traveling and actually going to different places that you remember?
I did once, and I actually remember, it was kind of... I remember going to a former family's, I was on the main street, and the street ran east and west, and you could see across the yards where that house was. It was kind of like I was bewitched in the corner, but I was sitting on the electrical wires, just viewing everything, and it was all in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got off there, I guess, and then I got down to the ground, and I was walking and talking with someone, and the snow, I could hear the snow crunching. I remember walking down the driveway and hearing the snow crunching. Who I was talking to, I don't have any idea, but I knew that house, I knew the people that lived in the house and all that kind of stuff. So I that was one of the other times that it happened. That's why I'm wondering if it's not like a time traveling.
Oh, well, we can do that. We can do that while we're sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
We do time travel. Sometimes we don't bring back a conscious memory of it. Some people may not bring back a conscious memory because it could be that they're not prepared for that, that it could be too upsetting. But I would wonder if the Reiki attunement didn't open you up to some other things. And this other experience you had with all the faces and the collage of faces, did you recognize any of them, or did they all seem like people you did not know?
It all seemed like people that I did not know.
I would wonder if they were either people who had passed on, who were wanting for you to help them in some way, or they could, or could also be a little precognitive people you may be encountering in the future, or people you could be encountering while you're traveling.
Mm. I kind of had a feeling that it was people that wanted to connect to me, like a mediumship.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what flashed in for me when you mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
People who had passed on who were trying to come to you.
Right, like an open portal.
Well, yeah, and you have to be careful with that. I mean, some people are very, very comfortable with that, and some people may feel drained or may feel invaded. So it's always important that you find your comfort level with
mm-hmm.
it. And I have known people, I've known several people who've experienced this from the time they were young and were fine with it. I've known some other people who might have felt a little overwhelmed. So it's really important that you find your comfort level.
Well, I didn't, you know, when I was younger, in my early teens, a family member who was very attuned spiritually, she had passed away. And I remember being at the wake and everything, and when Isabel died, I can remember it seemed right around that time that's when spirit came to me more.
Yes.
To the point where, and I was young and I didn't really have anybody to talk to except my grandmother, and finally I went to her in desperation because I couldn't sleep. It
mm-hmm.
just was so much chatter, and it really, you know, it was awful. So I said to her, gosh, what do I do? And she goes, just tell them to go away. You just have to tell them to go away. So for 9 months, it's exactly what I did. I mean, at least 9 months, if not longer. And I did. And now with the Reiki attunement and wanting to follow this path, I am more open to it, not of mediumship. Only because, like what you said,
mm-hmm.
on how not forceful, it's just, it's very energy draining.
And that you want to be really careful about, Barb.
Yeah.
When we have thin boundaries, when we're spiritual or when we are compassionate or empathic, we often have thin boundaries, and we have to find a way to do whatever we need to do, we're supposed to do, we want to do, and not be drained. So you might want to think of a way that you can work with this, even set up a schedule. You might want to go, okay, I will work with one of you a week.
Okay.
And you may say, I will work with you in the sleep state, or you may say, I will work with you while I'm awake on such and such a day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to be completely passive with this and let it happen to you.
Right. Well, I've already said it has to be in my sleep state.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could not... It's kind of funny now, in my waking state, I feel like there's always something like, I want to say it's black, but I can't, like there's something like moving to the side.
Does that make sense? I mean, I've heard of this before. And so what I would suggest is to allow yourself to tune into that and see exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then find your comfort level. If you're
okay.
comfortable with it, fine. If you're not comfortable, just say, you know, please leave.
Okay. Okay.
Because, again, you don't have to be completely passive and be acted upon. You can set up boundaries. You can still help. But you can do it in a way in which you're not feeling invaded and you're not feeling drained.
Okay. Okay.
And
yeah,
I would say your experience
that's one of the concerns that I had, you know, before, after experiencing that. And I had to be maybe, I don't know, 13, 14 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, some people I know people who've experienced this from the age of, you know, 2, 3, or 4.
Well, I did as a little kid, but my mother didn't believe me with my imaginary friends.
And that is so common. That is so common.
You
so
know,
it's wonderful that your grandmother, when you were older, you know, did not poo-poo you.
Yes. Yeah. Well, my
grandfather was very much into it. We need classes in this for children.
My grandfather was very much in tune to the occult.
Mm-hmm.
And where my grandmother, she just really knew how to live life. She had it down pat.
Yes.
She was very, very stable. I mean, he was a very successful businessman, but would go off in different veins where she understood the laws of the universe more and wasn't more geared to, like, oh, let's try this. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't her personality.
Yes.
So that's where it was easier to share with her. But when I was young, oh, yes. And my mother would say, you know, if we would be out, and my mother was always very friendly, and with people that she worked with, she'd say, oh, go hug so-and-so. And I'd go, no, I don't like them.
You were picking up on something.
Yeah, it was their energy. Now I realize it was... I was reading their energy.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know, this is not uncommon. You know, it's just that when children are experiencing these things, unfortunately, so much of the time their families are uncomfortable with it or poo-poo it. You know, it's always so much better if somebody in the family is clued in and can be helpful.
Exactly. Yeah.
Your experience in Egypt, I think, is also very, very interesting. And, you know, as I mentioned, you know, we talked about this earlier, we can certainly travel and go to different places while we're sleeping. And, you know, this might be a fun aspect for you.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I have a feeling that sometimes that I do travel to different eras, I guess. Different.
Oh, yeah, different time periods, different centuries. Different dimensions.
Yeah, I do, without even trying.
Yes, past lives. Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah, exactly, without even trying at all, you know.
Yes.
And but it was just kind of not scary. I wouldn't say it was scary. It was just kind of wow, because I actually could hear and feel and see where I was at.
Yep. Yep.
So it wasn't just like a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was
you
really
weren't dreaming being about
in there.
It. You were there.
Exactly, like I was there. Right.
Yep. Yep. And
well,
that does
I'm going
happen.
To have to end because we're coming up to the end of the show, and I so appreciate your call, Barb. It sounds like you're a very, very talented individual, and thank you for your input tonight.
Oh, thank you for having the show, and thank you so much, Diane. I'm going to have to. I don't write down dreams, but I guess I think I should start doing that.
I think it's a good thing to do, and I've really enjoyed speaking with you, Barb.
Thank you so much.
All right. Have a good night, Barb.
You too.
God bless.
Both of you. Take care. Thanks.
All right. Well, Diane, the show ended very quickly, and it was wonderful to have those callers. I thank you so much for being on the air with me tonight. And, folks, Diane Brandon's books are available at Amazon.com. You can try at your bookstore. Dream Interpretation for Beginners, Intuition for Beginners, and Intuitive Insights for Fulfillment in Life. And, of course, they have subtitles, too. But thank you again, Diane.
Thank you so much, David.
You're welcome.
A wonderful pleasure.
Okay. So, once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we allow it. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.